At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Get out now. No doubt now.
It's the Beating the Book podcast. Gil Alexander, we promised a whole bunch of podcasts. This is one of them. This is from a little earlier, a few weeks back. It's season win totals in Major League Baseball from both Roxy Roxborough, the legendary Roxy Roxborough, and Jason Weingarten, who have been so good on season win totals for so many years on the show. Roxy with just a remarkable year last year. This is obviously a question mark as to whether or not there's going to be some applicable value to this. But in case the season is truncated, maybe there's an equivalent win percentage that could inform some of our wagers. We shall see. Nonetheless, always interesting, always informative, always insightful from these two on the Beating the Book podcast.
Welcome.
Enjoy.
Back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
That Chicago Bulls stat that we gave out, 1-21 against winning teams, courtesy of, want to give him credit, Casey Johnson, Bulls insider for NBC Chicago. 29 years of the Tribune. You know him, Bill. 29 years of the Tribune. Casey Johnson, thank you for that. Let's bring him in, ladies and gentlemen, from somewhere under a cloud of smoke in Southern California. It's his time of year. Also writes for Point Spread Weekly. Talking Major League Baseball, it's Jason Weingarten. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Gil. How's it going?
It's going well, man. Great to hear you. Let me just ask you this off the top. What was your favorite part? And by favorite, I'll put that in quotes. What was your favorite part of Rob Manfred's interview yesterday with Carl Ravitch regarding the Astros scandal?
You know, I didn't actually watch it. I just saw the clips in the news. So, yeah, it wasn't anything new, really. It's just kind of disappointing that nothing's really going to happen and he wants us all to just move on.
He looked awful. And I couldn't believe a couple of responses. You know, hey, are you gonna strip them of the title? And I'm not a strip a title kind of guy, vacate title kind of guy. But I believe if there was ever a title to be vacated, it's that one in 2017. And Rob Manfred was like, nah, I don't believe in that kind of thing. Oh, all right, well, what about the players being punished? Eh, I don't know, MLB, you know, the Players Association. It was just sort of this horrific thing. Just like, oh God, this is getting worse. As if you didn't think the Jim Crane interview could be any worse. Rob Manfred doubling down. Anyway, let's talk unders, and let's start there. I'm guessing that perhaps of all of these, because a couple of these are not going to be bettable yet at the number that you got them at. Did you bet the Houston Astros under? Because that would be one of them, I'm guessing, that would not be there.
I did, under 96.5, 94.5.
So you got it at 96.5, but it is at 94.5 now. So that's one. So that's two games off. So that's one that's not quite. Would you still bet it at 94.5 under?
Yeah, I bet it. I also bet it at 94.5.
Oh, you did. Okay. Give us your now beyond the scandal, beyond the sign stealing. What is your reasoning? What is your baseball reasoning?
They lost Garrett Cole. They hired Dusty Baker to manage the team. you know, I totally understand why you would still want to play the over. It's a really good lineup. There's nothing wrong with the lineup. I'm just going to kind of go out on a little bit of a narrative limb and say that they're going to have a tough season. They're going to have a lot of distractions, you know, and I don't have anything against Dusty Baker. I just don't think he's going to lead them to 90 wins. I just don't.
Here's what I love about that, because you and I are very much based on numbers, and we adhere to them pretty strongly. But I do agree with what you said. I actually think that the narrative matters here. And I think there is a sense of, and I'm not talking about, oh, they're going to get thrown at and the media is going to be on. Maybe that's part of it, too. But I just don't know, Jason, how good they were. You know what I mean? Like, so all of this casts doubt on everything for me. I'm not going to bet a team over that number when I'm not convinced they're as good, based on everything we've learned, as our eyes told us they were back in the day, because we don't know anything anymore about this team.
I do also think the division has gotten better, so that's part of it
as well. The Dusty Baker thing is interesting, though, because I always say this about Dusty, whether he's in San Francisco, D.C., Chicago, wherever he's been, Cincinnati, not only not the best in-game decision maker, but he also seems to get unlucky a lot, too, when he does make good decisions. I'm with you. And you also point out, what if this team starts slow? Is he the guy to get them out of that?
I don't think so. I'm not sure. I don't like to talk a lot of trash on Dusty, because he's actually a good manager and he's a good guy, but they didn't hire him to win games. They hired him to stand at the podium, you know, this week while the team was speaking, and basically be a credibility shield. That was the best way I heard it described in an article, is that he was hired to shield them from criticism and make them more credible, that they're changing the organization, which I don't really believe.
A credibility shield. That's an interesting term.
Yeah.
All right, give me a couple other unders.
Rockies under 74.5. Pirates under 71.5. Phillies under 85.5, and the Braves under 90.5.
Wow. All right. So let's drill down on some of those. Let's start with the Rockies, because I've had a pretty good relationship over the last 3 years betting Rockies. I was right about them on the over 1 year. I think I was wrong a couple years ago, and then I was right again on the under easily last year. What is your thought on the Rockies under?
It's bad team, and I bet it early, sort of anticipating that Nolan Arenado might get traded. He hasn't yet, but I still think he's probably closer to the end of his Colorado career than, you know, it's probably time for him to move to a team that can put together a winner. So, I think you lose Arenado, that's going to drop a couple games, and I don't like the team. I don't like their... You know, I don't like them in comparison to everybody else in the division, and I don't like their stadium.
other than that, I can't think of anything I don't like about them, and I don't like their stadium. It's just so tough. That is one of those teams that perennially, if you take an over on the Rockies, it's just such a frustrating experience to live through that bet. We don't often talk about that, right, Jason? Like the experience of actually dealing with that bet for the course of a season. But Rockies overs are particularly frustrating just because of that ballpark. As I said many times to you last year, or you may have said it as well, I don't know what they're doing in there, but it certainly isn't baseball in that stadium. Something else.
Nope.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about... Did you mention the Marlins on that list as well?
Marlins over.
Oh, Marlins was an over. We'll talk about them tomorrow. I'm sorry. Phillies and Braves, NL East, because those are related. So Phillies and Braves, you like the under on both the Phillies and the Braves. What numbers did you get them at? We'll flash those up on the screen at VSiN.com and the VSiN app. But talk to me about those two teams in the NL East.
Braves 90.5, Phillies 85.5. It's not so much an indictment on either team not being really good as much as their division being competitive. And I just don't see either one of those teams really running away. And you know, I especially don't see the Braves winning over 90 games this year. And I like the Braves, so I'm happy to take the unders on those numbers and pair it with a very low over on the Marlins, which we'll talk about tomorrow.
We'll talk about them tomorrow. There they are on the screen right here at VSiN.com. These are all courtesy of the South Point Hotel Casino. Atlanta currently at 91. What was Philly currently at right there, Jeff?
Philly was 86.
86 currently, and those numbers.
Oh, those are both good numbers.
So both the unders. Both better than the ones you got them at, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Should have stopped by South Point.
You should have stopped by the South Point. All right. And then you said also for the unders, you had the Pirates under as well?
Yeah, I think they're probably the worst team in baseball.
Worse than the Giants? Worse than the Orioles? Worse than the Tigers?
I don't think I have overs on two of those three teams you mentioned.
Wow. Pittsburgh's at 70 currently. So why the worst in your opinion? Just comprehensive horrific baseball team?
Same reason I say for most teams is the division issue. They have four other teams in their division that are all much better than them, so they don't really get any time off or any easy games. They're constantly going to be getting their asses kicked. I don't like the rebuilding sort of attitude they have, and they're admitting, you know, look, we hired a new GM, we're rebuilding, and you know, they traded Starlin Marte. They're not really doing a ton to add to the team. It's they exist. It's nice, but they're not spending money. They're not going to make any moves at the trade deadline to be competitive. Just what's there to like on the over with the Pirates? I can't find an upside. I just see downside.
All right, so unders, therefore. Unders on the Astros, under on the Pirates, under on the Braves, under on the Phillies, under on the Rockies. Jason's got one more under. It's in the NL Central. We'll get to that momentarily. And Jason, I might ask you a question about political markets. We'll do that coming back. Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia. Hang on one second. Coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Back on A Numbers Game, indeed. It is Gil Alexander right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 204. Jason Weingarten is with us at Spreadopedia. All right, as far as your final under in baseball, and again, let's review. Houston Astros, Philadelphia Phillies, Atlanta Braves, Colorado Rockies, and you say they're the worst team in baseball, the Pittsburgh Pirates. One last under, sir, and it's from the NL Central.
NL Central, the St. Louis Cardinals under 88.5.
87 now. You still obviously don't like it as much at 87, but would you still bet it at 87?
Close. Again, a lot of these, we'll go over them tomorrow. I pair a lot of overs with an under, so I would probably still bet it if you could find a competitive number on the other side that I'm looking for.
Okay.
I guess I could kind of get into it real quick and just say my division bet for the NL Central is my one sort of upset change, different team this year. It's the Cincinnati Reds to win the division. So I think the Cardinals take a step back. I think the Cubs take a step back. I think a lot of teams will have games to pick up playing the Pirates so often.
So, again, for those who missed the nuance of that, Jason has sort of hinted in both cases, Phillies and Braves under is in some way correlated with the Marlins over, which we'll talk about tomorrow, as is the unders in the NL Central, Pirates and Cardinals, with the over on the Reds. Do you have a division bet on them?
I don't have a division bet on the Reds. I took their win total over because I could still see situations where they're second in the division and a wild card team.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm I'm not in love with a lot of the early numbers I looked at, pennant futures, divisions. I really believe you're probably going to get better numbers on a lot of this stuff in season, because it's not like anybody's going to run away with a division or be a prohibitive pennant favorite other than the Dodgers, the Yankees after the first month. So, you know, why invest in February or March or even April when I could put that money to work in May or June?
Totally. And as I've said this on this show so many times, pre-flop futures betting markets, some of the worst value you will find in anything. Season win totals, still some of the greatest because you have 162 games. You can overcome negative variance. You know, even if you don't have credit somewhere, you know, if you have to live through that for 6 months, I get it. There's an opportunity cost, but at least it's a very cerebral bet. At least you're getting, you know, it's a very well thought out thing. Futures, you're just not getting the bang for your buck. Even with something like the Reds, they're just not sexy enough at this point. It's hard not to like that rotation, though, with Trevor Bauer, Sonny Gray, Luis Castillo. By the way, Trevor Bauer, shout out to Trevor Bauer for being among the most vocal against the Astros. Love hearing from Trevor Bauer. Jason, we'll do this tomorrow. We'll come back with the overs tomorrow, okay? Same time?
Same time, I'll be here.
My man, thank you so much. Jason Weingarten, professional sports bettor, writes for Point Spread Weekly on baseball and beyond. We look forward to all the thoughts that he has about baseball season win totals in written form as well. He'll be back on the show tomorrow to talk about overs. My baseball season win totals manifesto coming up at some point, too, whenever I get off my lazy butt and start to write. 3-0 last year. So 3-0. I was 3-0 last year on the show. Jason, I think, was about 2-0 or 3-0 with his season win totals. Maybe I'm shortchanging him. I can't remember how many he had. And Roxy was about 8-1 and then had the Nationals midseason to win it all. Had Tampa Bay, I think, to get into the playoffs. Roxy had a dream season. Roxy will be on the show here within a couple weeks.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Back on A Numbers Game, Jeff Parlay putting up the number sign on me. Oh, I see what you're saying now. Little signals from behind the glass from Parlay. Jason Weingarten was on with us yesterday. He gave us his favorite Major League Baseball season win total unders. Help me out here, Jeffrey. These were the, I think he gave out six. One was the Houston Astros. That's where we started. Then we had the Braves and the Phillies from the NL East. We also had the Cardinals and the Pirates from the NL Central, who he described the Pirates as the worst team in Major League Baseball. And I believe it was under on the Rockies as well. One of his reasons was I hate everything about them, including their stadium. So those were the six unders in Major League Baseball, the Astros and then that quintet of teams from the National League. Today we talk about his favorite Major League Baseball season win total overs from somewhere under a cloud of smoke in Southern California. It's our buddy Jason Weingarten. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Gil. How's it going?
All right, let's talk about overs. You have a handful of these. You mentioned a couple yesterday, and usually when we use the word correlated, we're talking about parlays and betting, but I guess there is some correlation here. Because you had the unders with the Braves and the Phillies, it is somewhat correlated, as we mentioned yesterday, that you have the over on the Marlins. What number did you get the Miami Marlins at? 63.5 currently here at the South Point Hotel Casino.
That's what I got, 63.5. I wouldn't chase that number very much higher for action. So 63.5 is a good number.
What's your thinking there? I mean, obviously it's not a very high bar to clear.
That's pretty much exactly it. It's a very low bar, and you know a moderately competent team should be able to get 65 wins. They have a nice pitching staff. I don't hate any of their starting pitchers, really.
All right. Doesn't hate any of the starting pitchers. The other one that had a loose correlation with was the Cincinnati Reds. You were under on the Cardinals. You were under on the Pirates. We talked about the Reds. The Reds, in many ways, among baseball circles, are sort of the flavor of the month, right? There's a lot to like with the Reds. We talked about their starting staff yesterday, Sonny Gray and Trevor Bauer and Luis Castillo, obviously headlining that group. You do not have a pick on them to win the division. We talked about the fact that we don't love the bang for your buck on futures odds there, but you do have them over. Their number at the South Point right now is 84. Where do you have them?
I got 83.5, so 84 would still be playable. I've seen up to 85.5. Wasn't dying to play all the way up to 85.5, but I like them. I think they made some good moves this offseason. They got Nick Castellanos. They signed a guy from Japan, Akiyama. There's just a lot to like, a lot of positive momentum for them. And what's it called? I mentioned to you yesterday, the NL Central odds, they're like 2.5 to 1 to win the NFL Central. You know, they've made a nice improvement year over year, and I'm interested to watch them and you know, see how they play.
All right, now if I know Jason Weingarten, and I do, by the way, you can follow Jason at Spreadopedia on Twitter. Always a fascinating Twitter follow. You are all about, listen, you're in Southern California. You watch the Dodgers very closely. Are we over on the Dodgers again this year?
I did bet the over on the Dodgers, but let me preface this by saying a lot of what I bet and the ways I bet, if I'm sitting in front of the computer and news breaks, I can pick off numbers. So when the initial Mookie Betts trade went through, and remember, it took a week or so to actually finalize, but when it went through and all the reporters broke the news, I bet over 98.5 wins, you know, -130 or something, because I knew that number wasn't going to last. And unfortunately, I didn't also bet the Red Sox under at the same time. I probably should have. But yes, I did bet the Dodgers over. I do expect them to easily walk into 100 wins. I wouldn't rush to bet over 102 wins, but honestly, I don't see how they don't hit the overs on any of these numbers with the team they have and the ammunition they have to continue to add more players this year. I mean, it's not out of the question that they still get Francisco Lindor.
Jeez.
If the Indians move him. So
could you imagine? God.
I could. I think, yeah. And that's the thing, is I think the Dodgers sort of are going to be playing this season with sort of a little anger, and it might not translate to hit by pitches or anger on the field, but I could see the front office be more aggressive this year and say, you want to see what we're going to do when we're angry? Well, let's add Lindor to this lineup and see how you beat us now.
Yeah, it's at 101 now at the South Point, 101.5 over at the Westgate. You would probably stay off that at this point.
If you were really looking for action, I'd tell you Dodgers over a pass. I wouldn't really try to you know, get the Dodgers on and under there. But you know, it's just so high when you're taking it over 100.
It's amazing
win total on any team. You're just what are you betting that nothing's going to go wrong all season,
right,
and everything's going to be great? That, you know, there's better bets than that. That's what I'm saying.
Well, for those who have followed me for many years, I mean, one of the things I always say about baseball season win totals is there is this is a case for everything, but with baseball season win totals in 162 games, again, where you can overcome negative variance, it also means more when you say this is the bet where there really is a spectrum of possibilities. Things go completely your way during a season, you know, or the other way, that you get a complete, you know, rash of injuries or whatever it is, or things just don't work out in the parts that are hit or miss. And of course, there's a spectrum in between that. And so, yeah, that's exactly right. We've gotten to the point now with the Dodgers and the Yankees specifically, where the number is so high, and the Yankees are also above.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
It's the Beating the Book podcast. Gil Alexander, we promised a whole bunch of podcasts. This is one of them. This is from a little earlier, a few weeks back. It's season win totals in Major League Baseball from both Roxy Roxborough, the legendary Roxy Roxborough, and Jason Weingarten, who have been so good on season win totals for so many years on the show. Roxy with just a remarkable year last year. This is obviously a question mark as to whether or not there's going to be some applicable value to this. But in case the season is truncated, maybe there's an equivalent win percentage that could inform some of our wagers. We shall see. Nonetheless, always interesting, always informative, always insightful from these two on the Beating the Book podcast.
Welcome.
Enjoy.
Back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
That Chicago Bulls stat that we gave out, 1-21 against winning teams, courtesy of, want to give him credit, Casey Johnson, Bulls insider for NBC Chicago. 29 years of the Tribune. You know him, Bill. 29 years of the Tribune. Casey Johnson, thank you for that. Let's bring him in, ladies and gentlemen, from somewhere under a cloud of smoke in Southern California. It's his time of year. Also writes for Point Spread Weekly. Talking Major League Baseball, it's Jason Weingarten. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Gil. How's it going?
It's going well, man. Great to hear you. Let me just ask you this off the top. What was your favorite part, and by favorite, I'll put that in quotes, what was your favorite part of Rob Manfred's interview yesterday with Carl Ravitch regarding the Astros scandal?
You know, I didn't actually watch it. I just saw the clips in the news, so... Yeah, it wasn't anything new, really. It's just kind of disappointing that nothing's really going to happen, and he wants us all to just move on.
First of all, he looked awful, and I couldn't believe a couple of responses. You know, hey, are you gonna strip them of the title? And I'm not a strip a title kind of guy, vacate title kind of guy. But I believe if there was ever a title to be vacated, it's that one in 2017. And Rob Manfred was like, no, I don't believe in that kind of thing. Oh, all right, well, what about the players being punished? I don't know, MLB, you know, the Players Association. It was just sort of this horrific thing. I'm just like, oh, God, this is getting worse. As if you didn't think the Jim Crane interview could be any worse. Rob Manfred doubling down. Anyway, let's talk unders, and let's start there. I'm guessing that perhaps of all of these, because a couple of these are not going to be bettable yet at the number that you got them at. Did you bet the Houston Astros under? Because that would be one of them, I'm guessing. That would not be there.
I did, under 96.5, 94.5.
So you got it at 96.5, but it is at 94.5 now. So that's one. So that's two games off. So that's one that's not quite. Would you still bet it at 94.5 under?
Yeah, I bet it. I also bet it at 94.5.
Oh, you did. Okay. Give us your now beyond the scandal, beyond the sign stealing. What is your reasoning? What is your baseball reasoning?
They lost Garrett Cole. They hired Dusty Baker to manage the team. I totally understand why you would still want to play the over. It's a really good lineup. There's nothing wrong with the lineup. I'm just going to kind of go out on a little bit of a narrative limb and say that they're going to have a tough season. They're going to have a lot of distractions, you know, and I don't have anything against Dusty Baker. I just don't think he's going to lead them to 90 wins. I just don't.
Here's what I love about that, because you and I are very much based on numbers, and we adhere to them pretty strongly. But I do agree with what you said. I actually think that the narrative matters here. And I think there is a sense of, and I'm not talking about, oh, they're going to get thrown at and the media is going to be on. Maybe that's part of it, too. But I just don't know, Jason, how good they were. You know what I mean? Like, so all of this casts doubt on everything for me. I'm not going to bet a team over that number when I'm not convinced they're as good, based on everything we've learned, as our eyes told us they were back in the day, because we don't know anything anymore about this team.
I do also think their division has gotten better, so
there's
part
that
of it
as well. The Dusty Baker thing is interesting, though, because I always say this about Dusty, whether he's in San Francisco, D.C., Chicago, wherever he's been, Cincinnati, not only not the best in-game decision maker, but he also seems to get unlucky a lot, too, when he does make good decisions. I'm with you. And you also point out, what if this team starts slow? Is he the guy to get them out of that?
I don't think so. I'm not sure. I don't like to talk a lot of trash on Dusty, because he's actually a good manager and he's a good guy, but they didn't hire him to win games. They hired him to stand at the podium, you know, this week while the team was speaking, and basically be a credibility shield. That was the best way I heard it described in an article, is that he was hired to shield them from criticism and make them more credible, that they're, you know, they're changing the organization, which I don't really believe.
A credibility shield. That's an interesting term.
Yeah.
All All right, give me a couple other unders.
Rockies under 74.5. Pirates under 71.5. Phillies under 85.5. And the Braves under 90.5.
Wow. All right. So let's drill down on some of those. Let's start with the Rockies, because I've had a pretty good relationship over the last 3 years betting Rockies. I was right about them on the over 1 year. I think I was wrong a couple years ago, and then I was right again on the under easily last year. What is your thought on the Rockies under?
It's bad team, and I bet it early, sort of anticipating that Nolan Arenado might get traded. He hasn't yet, but I still think he's probably closer to the end of his Colorado career than, you know, it's probably time for him to move to a team that can put together a winner. So, you know, I think you lose Arenado, that's going to drop a couple games, and I don't like the team. I don't like their... You know, I don't like them in comparison to everybody else in the division, and I don't like their stadium.
other than that, I can't think of anything I don't like about them, and I don't like their stadium. It's just so tough. That is one of those teams that perennially, if you take an over on the Rockies, it's just such a frustrating experience to live through that bet. We don't often talk about that, right, Jason? Like the experience of actually dealing with that bet for the course of a season. But Rockies overs are particularly frustrating just because of that ballpark. As I said many times to you last year, or you may have said it as well, I don't know what they're doing in there, but it certainly isn't baseball in that stadium. Something else.
Nope.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about... Did you mention the Marlins on that list as well?
Marlins over.
Oh, Marlins was an over. We'll talk about them tomorrow. I'm sorry. Phillies and Braves, NL East, because those are related. So Phillies and Braves, you like the under on both the Phillies and the Braves. What numbers did you get them at? We'll flash those up on the screen at VSiN.com and the VSiN app. But talk to me about those two teams in the NL East.
Braves 90.5, Phillies 85.5. It's not so much an indictment on either team not being really good, as much as their division being competitive, and I just don't see either one of those teams really running away, and you know, I especially don't see the Braves winning over 90 games this year, and I like the Braves, so. I'm happy to take the unders on those numbers and pair it with a very low over on the Marlins, which we'll talk about tomorrow.
We'll talk about them tomorrow. There they are on the screen right here at VSiN.com. These are all courtesy of the South Point Hotel Casino Atlanta, currently at 91. What was Philly currently at right there, Jeff?
Philly was 86.
86 currently at those numbers.
Oh, those are both good numbers.
So both
take the unders.
Both better than the ones you got them at, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Should have stopped by South Point.
You should have stopped by the South Point. All right. And then you said also for the unders, you had the Pirates under as well?
Yeah, I think they're probably the worst team in baseball.
Worse than the Giants? Worse than the Orioles? Worse than the Tigers?
I don't think the... Yeah, actually, I have overs on two of those three teams you mentioned.
Wow. Pittsburgh's at 70 currently. So why the worst in your opinion? Just comprehensive horrific baseball team.
Same reason I say for most teams is the division issue. They have four other teams in their division that are all much better than them, so they don't really get any time off or any easy games. They're constantly gonna be getting their asses kicked. I don't like the rebuilding sort of attitude they have, and they're admitting, you know, look, we hired a new GM, we're rebuilding, and you know, they traded Starlin Marte. They're mm-hmm. they're not really doing a ton to add to the team. It's they exist. It's nice, but they're not spending money. They're not going to make any moves at the trade deadline to be competitive. Just what's there to like on the over with the Pirates? I can't find an upside. I just see downside.
All right, so unders, therefore. Unders on the Astros, under on the Pirates, under on the Braves, under on the Phillies, under on the Rockies. Jason's got one more under. It's in the NL Central. We'll get to that momentarily. And Jason, I might ask you a question about political markets. We'll do that coming back. Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia. Hang on one second. Coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Back on A Numbers Game, indeed. It is Gil Alexander right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 204. Jason Weingarten is with us at Spreadopedia. All right, as far as your final under in baseball, and again, let's review. Houston Astros, Philadelphia Phillies, Atlanta Braves, Colorado Rockies, and you say they're the worst team in baseball, the Pittsburgh Pirates. One last under, sir, and it's from the NL Central.
NL Central, the St. Louis Cardinals under 88.5.
87 now. You still obviously don't like it as much at 87, but would you still bet it at 87?
Close. Again, a lot of these we'll go over them tomorrow. I pair a lot of overs with an under, so I would probably still bet it if you could find a competitive number on the other side that I'm looking for.
Okay.
I guess I could kind of get into it real quick and just say my division bet for the NL Central is my one sort of upset change. Different team this year. It's the Cincinnati Reds to win the division. So I think the Cardinals take a step back. I think the Cubs take a step back. I think a lot of teams will have games to pick up playing the Pirates so often.
So you, again, for those who missed the nuance of that, Jason has sort of hinted in both cases, Phillies and Braves under is in some way correlated with the Marlins over, which we'll talk about tomorrow, as is the unders in the NL Central, Pirates and Cardinals, with the over on the Reds. Do you have a division bet on them?
I don't have a division bet on the Reds. I took their win total over because I could still see situations where they're second in the division and a wild card team.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not in love with a lot of the early numbers I looked at, pennant futures, divisions. I really believe you're probably going to get better numbers on a lot of this stuff in season, because it's not like anybody's going to run away with a division or be a prohibitive pennant favorite other than the Dodgers, the Yankees after the first month. So, you know, why invest in February or March or even April when I could put that money to work in May or June?
Totally. And as I've said this on this show so many times, pre-flop futures betting markets, some of the worst value you will find in anything. Season win totals, still some of the greatest because you have 162 games. You can overcome negative variance. You know, even if you don't have credit somewhere, you know, if you have to live through that for 6 months, I get it. There's an opportunity cost, but at least it's a very cerebral bet. At least you're getting, you know, it's a very well thought out thing. Futures, you're just not getting the bang for your buck. Even with something like the Reds, they're just not sexy enough at this point. It's hard not to like that rotation, though, with Trevor Bauer, Sonny Gray, Luis Castillo. By the way, Trevor Bauer, shout out to Trevor Bauer for being among the most vocal against the Astros. Love hearing from Trevor Bauer. Jason, we'll do this tomorrow. We'll come back with the overs tomorrow, okay? Same time?
Same time, I'll be here.
My man, thank you so much. Jason Weingarten, professional sports bettor, writes for Point Spread Weekly on baseball and beyond. We look forward to all the thoughts that he has about baseball season win totals in written form as well. He'll be back on the show tomorrow to talk about overs. My baseball season win totals manifesto coming up at some point, too, whenever I get off my lazy butt and start to write. 3-0 last year. So 3-0. I was 3-0 last year on the show. Jason, I think, was about 2-0 or 3-0 with his season win totals. Maybe I'm shortchanging him. I can't remember how many he had. And Roxy was about 8-1 and then had the Nationals midseason to win it all. Had Tampa Bay, I think, to get into the playoffs. Roxy had a dream season. Roxy will be on the show here within a couple weeks.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Back on A Numbers Game, Jeff Parlay putting up the number sign on me. Oh, I see what you're saying now. Little signals from behind the glass from Parlay. Jason Weingarten was on with us yesterday. He gave us his favorite Major League Baseball season win total unders. Help me out here, Jeffrey. These were the, I think he gave out six. One was the Houston Astros. That's where we started. Then we had the Braves and the Phillies from the NL East. We also had the Cardinals and the Pirates from the NL Central, who he described, the Pirates, as the worst team in Major League Baseball, and I believe it was under on the Rockies as well. One of his reasons was I hate everything about them, including their stadium. So those were the six unders in Major League Baseball, the Astros and then that quintet of teams from the National League. Today we talk about his favorite Major League Baseball season win total overs from somewhere under a cloud of smoke in Southern California. It's our buddy Jason Weingarten. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Gil. How's it going?
All right, let's talk about overs. You have a handful of these. You mentioned a couple yesterday. And usually when we use the word correlated, we're talking about parlays and betting. But I guess there is some correlation here. Because you had the unders with the Braves and the Phillies, it is somewhat correlated, as we mentioned yesterday, that you have the over on the Marlins. What number did you get the Miami Marlins at? 63.5 currently here at the South Point Hotel Casino.
That's what I got, 63.5. I wouldn't chase that number very much higher for action, so 63.5 is a good number.
What's your thinking there? I mean, obviously, it's not a very high bar to clear.
That's pretty much exactly it. It's a very low bar, and you know, a moderately competent team should be able to get 65 wins. They have a nice pitching staff. I don't hate any of their starting pitchers, really.
All right, doesn't hate any of the starting pitchers. The other one that had a loose correlation with was the Cincinnati Reds. You were under on the Cardinals. You were under on the Pirates. We talked about the Reds. The Reds, in many ways, among baseball circles, are sort of the flavor of the month, right? There's a lot to like with the Reds. We talked about their starting staff yesterday. Sonny Gray and Trevor Bauer and Luis Castillo, obviously headlining that group. You do not have a pick on them to win the division. We talked about the fact that we don't love the bang for your buck on futures odds there, but you do have them over. Their number at the South Point right now is 84. Where do you have them?
I got 83.5, so 84 would still be playable. I've seen up to 85.5, wasn't dying to play all the way up to 85.5, but I like them. I think they made some good moves this offseason. They got Nick Castellanos. They signed a guy from Japan, Akiyama. There's just a lot to like, a lot of positives, a lot of positive momentum for them. And what's it called? We talked to you, I mentioned to you yesterday, the NL Central odds, they're like 2.5 to 1 to win the NFL Central. Yeah. You know, they've made a nice improvement year over year, and I'm interested to watch them and you know, see how they play.
All right, now if I know Jason Weingarten, and I do, by the way, you can follow Jason at Spreadopedia on Twitter, always a fascinating Twitter follow. You are all about, listen, you're in Southern California, you watch the Dodgers very closely. Are we over on the Dodgers again this year?
I did bet the over on the Dodgers, but let me preface this by saying a lot of what I bet and the ways I bet, if I'm sitting in front of the computer and news breaks, I can pick off numbers. So when the initial Mookie Betts trade went through, and remember, it took a week or so to actually finalize, but when it went through and all the reporters broke the news, I bet over 98.5 wins, at, you know, -130 or something, because I knew that number wasn't going to last. And unfortunately, I didn't also bet the Red Sox under at the same time. I probably should have. But yes, I did bet the Dodgers over. I do expect them to easily walk into 100 wins. I wouldn't rush to bet over 102 wins, but honestly, I don't see how they don't hit the overs on any of these numbers with the team they have and the ammunition they have to continue to add more players this year. I mean, it's not out of the question that they still get Francisco Lindor.
Jeez.
If the Indians move them. So
could you imagine? God.
I could. I think, yeah. And that's the thing is I think the Dodgers sort of are going to be playing this season with sort of a little anger, and it might not translate to hit by pitches or anger on the field, but I could see the front office be more aggressive this year and say, you want to see what we're going to do when we're angry? Well, let's add Lindor to this lineup and see how you beat us now.
Yeah, it's at 101 now at the South Point, 101.5 over at the Westgate. You would probably stay off that at this point.
If you were really looking for action, I'd tell you Dodgers over a pass. I wouldn't really try to you know, get the Dodgers on and under there. But you know, it's just set so high when you're taking it over 100.
It's amazing
win total on any team. You're just what are you betting that nothing's gonna go wrong all season?
Right.
And everything's gonna be great. That you know, there's better bets than that. That's what I'm saying.
Well, for those who have followed me for many years, I mean, one of the things I always say about baseball season win totals is there is this is a case for everything, but with baseball season win totals in 162 games, again, where you can overcome negative variance, it also means more when you say this is the bet where there really is a spectrum of possibilities. Things go completely your way during a season, you know, or the other way, that you get a complete, you know, rash of injuries or whatever it is, or things just don't work out in the parts that are hit or miss. And of course, there's a spectrum in between that. And so, yeah, that's exactly right. We've gotten to the point now with the Dodgers and the Yankees specifically, where the number is so high, and the Yankees are also above 100 here, where to bet over on those, as bullish as we all are on those two teams, and I've said it for 2-3 years now, the chasm between the haves and the have-nots in baseball just keeps getting wider and wider. Well, the teams at the top, and you'll have some thoughts on the teams at the bottom momentarily, which might buck that, but the teams at the top, yeah, but it's just not the best bet out there. We love the over. We don't want to bet the under, but God, I mean, you still are betting. When you bet over 100, bet over 101, there still is this thing of life kind of gets in the way sometimes, for lack of a better way of putting it. So the Dodgers are at 101. What are the Yankees at right here at the South Point, Jeff? They're 101.5, is it? Yankees are 102 even. So the Yankees even still higher. By the way, that you alluded to the hit-by-pitch prop. You didn't allude to that prop specifically, but you mentioned that with the Dodgers and their anger against the Astros. 83.5. I was saying earlier, William Hill put this up, hit by pitches, Astros players getting hit by pitch. 83.5. I was mentioning earlier, I'm not playing it because I don't know how it's going to go. We were sort of speculating, Jeff Parles, my producer and I, that if you did this April, May, June, July, August, that would be something we might be interested in. But as a season-long bet, there's too many variables. We don't know how baseball is going to react. Any thoughts for you on that prop?
I saw 83.5, and I saw some offshores post 89.5. And my initial thought was, oh, I would bet the over. You know, I just would bet the over blindly. And then I saw some people sort of break it down and say that would be, you know, one of the third or fourth highest hit by pitch totals in history or something.
Yeah.
Which isn't to say it's not going to happen, but why lock up money in a prop like that? That it's a value thing. I'm just, you're not getting sufficient value to lay -110 on that prop. So I'm not super interested in it. It's a nice headline grabber for the books, but you know, you're just not getting value there.
Totally how I feel about it. Exactly how I feel. Not going to play it myself. We'll come back, Jason. Hang out through the break. We got a couple more overs from Jason. Want to get his larger season thoughts as well. So far on the overs, and again, we recap the unders. The unders were the Astros, the Phillies, the Braves, the Rockies, the Cardinals, and the Pirates. The overs thus far, Dodgers, Marlins, Reds. We'll get to a couple more. These may surprise you. Coming up on A Numbers Game right here at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
And so my buddy E is on vacation in Rio, and he says to me, he's like, Gil, who's this Lizzo? There's somebody here named Lizzo that everybody's fawning all over. Who's Lizzo? I go, you don't know who Lizzo is? So that's how myopic he is at sports betting. I'm like, hair down, check your nails, no, nothing like that? Juicy, nothing? He's like, nah, I never heard of her. I didn't know what Lizzo was. Oh, I'm sorry, we're on the air? I had no idea. It is Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beatty the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Cover the damn line at BK Fun 1. Explain the theory behind futures to me. You play one unit and wait 6 months for a result? Though you could pick up one unit any day in 6 months? Seriously, I don't understand. Not being a jerk here. No. You're not being a jerk. It's a very valid question. I don't think you mean futures. I think you're talking about season win totals, which is what Jason and I are talking about right here. And we'll bring Jason Weingarten back in at Spreadopedia. 100% understand where you're coming from, and this is one of the things that I always talk about with baseball season win totals. It is a lot. Listen, unless you've got a credit account somewhere, let's be real, right, where some people are privileged to have that. if you're a mere mortal betting season win totals and you are just betting, you know, minus 110 thing for and have the book holding your money for 6 months, I get it. I understand. That's why we don't talk about it for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. We just do a, you know, a few segments on it, get a few experts on it, we move on. But I will say this about baseball season win totals specifically, and this is why I do write a season, a yearly manifesto on baseball season win totals. It is still, of all the season-long season win totals in major American sports, to me, again, the most cerebral and the one that makes the most sense. Because, and you just think about it very intuitively, pro football, you have 16 games. You have a bad month, your season win total bet could be toast. A rash of injury or just the wrong injury to the wrong person, you could be toast. College football, even shorter. Baseball is 162 points of data. And again, you can overcome negative variance. You can figure out what teams will do at trade deadlines. So just in terms of, hey, look, I get it. If you don't want to keep your money somewhere else for 6 months, it's a very valid question. But if you're okay with doing that and you can gamble alongside, you know, with other funds, it's about as smart a bet, I think, as you can make. But your point well taken, and there is a caveat that people must make about that. Anyway, we bring in Jason Weingarten, who may or may not agree with my assessment there. I don't know. Do you, Jason? You would agree with that general thought?
Yeah. I mean, you pointed out it helps if you could bet them on credit.
Yep.
So, you know, as opposed to going up to the window and plugging in a bunch of these, it's convenient. But I don't know. I find them fun.
I do, too.
I find most things to do with baseball fun. So
I would agree.
I just do it.
Let's get.
I saw some comments when we were at break. I just saw some comments from Nick Markakis, by the way.
Oh,
he said Manfred should be embarrassed and everybody on the Astros deserves to get beat.
Yeah, he said everyone deserves not a beaning, a beating.
A beating, yes.
Which is not the prop, by the way, again, at William Hill. It's more about beatings. It's about beatings. But that's how mad people are. And Jason, I am unabashed at how mad I don't care if I sound like I'm 190 years old. This, to me, is exponentially worse than steroids. It just is. If I know what's coming, I've hacked the game. And those Astros non-apologies just absolutely tick me off even more. The owner was awful. Manfred's response is awful. Everything about it is really, really riles me up. And the players, and Justin Turner crushed Manfred with his comments, too. I do agree with that one gentleman who tweeted about this in some weird way might be the best thing that's happened to baseball, cynically speaking, because it really does raise interest. Like, oh, how is this going to play out?
The union's eventually going to have to decide, is it going to stand with the Astros players or is it going to stand with the rest of the union that wants to see something done? I wouldn't really want to be Tony Clark right now.
No, I would not either. Tony Clark, who runs the baseball players union, is the head of it anyway. All right, Jason, let's get to your other two overs. Now, Jeff Parlay, my producer number five, and I were hanging out yesterday, and I tipped him off on what the other overs were that you had here. And one of them particularly is like, I got to hear this explanation. But let's start with the one that's not the one that he's referring to. Let's start with the Baltimore Orioles, who I believe last year you and I were both on the under with the Orioles. You like the over on the Orioles. Explícame.
I like over 56.5 specifically. I don't think there's a ton of variance on that number. A lot of different numbers out there. But it's very hard to not win 57 games 2 years in a row. And it's not to say that the Orioles are more talented this year than they were last year or even better. I'm not even sure they're that much better year over year. It's more just a numbers play, especially if you're laying 105 or even if you can get plus 100 on it. I've seen some books begging for action on that over. It's so low, you know, it's sort of the kind of bet where you just kind of close your eyes and press accept. You're not thrilled that you're betting it. You're not excited to watch the games, but it's just such a low number that I'm willing to take a shot on the over. The edge is clearly towards the over there, not the under.
Yeah, and just to buttress what you're saying, and I talked about this with Major League Baseball season win totals before I went on vacation. I kind of do this every year. I do it in Point Spread Weekly, which you also write for on baseball and other things. Orioles were 54-108 in the actual standings last year. But when you do put them through the prism of such things as Bill James' Pythagorean theorem, base runs, which has to do with the sequencing, they were in earnest, right, if you look through those prisms, probably about a 58 or 59 win team. And you're like, oh, well, they still suck. Yes, I'm not saying they're any good. But they were they already were supposed to be over the 56.5 that exist right now last year. So it's not that outlandish of a bet, is what Jason is sort of indicating there, to go over on that. And, you know, again, 56.5.
If you're betting an under 56.5 like I did last year, you're basically counting down the games all season.
Yes.
You know, and your same thing with the over is at 100. Your margin of error on a 56.5 is so low that the last 2 weeks of the season, you're going to be sitting there saying there's 13 games left and I need them to go, you know, 6-7 or whatever. And you just have such little room for error that I'm willing to take the side that the book is trying to get action on,
totally,
which is the over here, clearly. Totally.
And you hinted at something again. We mentioned this yesterday. The living through the bet. I had three last year. The Rockies under was a coaster. The Dodgers over was a bit of a coast job too. The Orioles under, and you pointed out very well, it was kind of coasty, but it was the one that even late you were like, well, they're the Orioles, so I'm just going to bank on them being the Orioles. But any real average club could totally overcome this right now. So all it would have taken is one, you know, aberrational Orioles run, and we might have been toast too. So it's well worth the point. So overall,
and
go ahead.
You can't cash winners early in these markets. And let me tell you, for the NFL, one of my biggest bets, and I bet this, you know, on multiple accounts when I could, when the Dolphins traded Laremy Tunsil, I bet under 5 wins, under 4.5 wins, and under 4 wins for the Dolphins. And that was looking like one of the best bets I ever made. They were 0-7. They ended up with 5 wins. Mm-hmm. I look stupid. So, I mean, you just have no idea how these bets are going to play out. And, you know, like football, 16 games is different than 162. But, you know, you just can't cash a bet halfway through the season or two-thirds of the way through the season. You just got to watch them play out. And a lot of times they come very close to the numbers.
Oh, we do that the last week or a couple weeks of the baseball season, where there's always a handful of teams, right, 6 or 7 that are still in the balance come the last week or even to the last series of the Major League Baseball season. Now, here's the last one. We're talking to Jason Weingarten, pro sports bettor, writes for Point Spread Weekly. You can follow him on Twitter, at Spreadopedia. Parlay, this is the one that you were most curious about. Over on the Tigers, talk to us.
Yep. What's the number you're getting there? Same thing, 56, 57?
I see 57 now, South Point.
57, yeah. So 56.5, 57, still all right. You know, again, it's not a bet that I have a huge conviction on that I'm going to tell you, oh, this team's 10 games better, or, you know, what, even 5 games better. I'm not sure they're that much better than that number. But what I am sure about is the Indians aren't as good a team in that division. The White Sox are the AL Reds, for, you know, to say that like that. They're very hyped. The Royals are not very good. There's a lot of wins available in that division for a team to get over 57 wins. And the one thing the Tigers have going for them is they have 3 pitching prospects that don't suck, that are far from sucking, are actually very good. Matt Manning, Casey Mize, and Skirball. I forgot the guy's first name. But those 3 pitchers, and I don't expect all of them to be up this year, but I do expect at least 1, possibly 2, to get, you know, a decent run in the rotation. Should help them a little bit. Should maybe get them to 60 wins. I mean, like I said, to lose 108 games or 105 games year over year, you have to be an incredibly bad organization that's not trying to get better.
And again, just to buttress that, they were 47-114 last year. 47-114, which is
47 exactly.
Yeah, 292 winning percentage. But if you go through, if you believe in such things, which I subscribe to, such as base runs, again, sequencing has to do with your fortune or lack thereof in terms of the events per inning, both offensively and defensively. So again, the hack that I like to, just the example I like to give is, if you had three singles, a home run, and three strikeouts in an inning, and they came in that order, three singles, let's say they were all on base, then you hit the home run, whether they were on base or not, you get four runs, and the three strikeouts come at the end. But if you have the exact same events, and let's say the let's say you get a single, 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 they're all still on base, the bases are juiced, then, you know, but the home run precedes those, and then the strikeouts come. You only get one run. So basically, there's an expected run total per events in every half inning of baseball, both offensively and defensively, and the Tigers got the worst of it last year. And through that prism, really, instead of being a 47-win baseball team, they should have been a 54-win baseball team. So as bad as they are, and they were bad, they weren't as bad as 47 wins, at least through that, given that perspective. So not as much to improve on as a actual standings might reflect to the naked eye, if that makes any sense to folks. Jeff, are you okay? Are you comfortable with that explanation on the over of the Tigers? Are you satisfied, sir?
Of course, but again, that roster is just so bad. Remember, we all had that Casey Mize Rookie of the Year ticket last year.
That was Jason's.
If he ends up reaching his potential, look, they could steal a few games here and there, and it's such a low number that you could get over that by accident. It really is an accidental 6 out of 8, and all of a sudden, oh, wait a second, they just have to play 300, and all they're there.
So over for Jason, Dodgers, Tigers, Orioles, Reds, and Marlins. Those are the five overs. Now, Jason, if I asked you beyond these, if I just said, okay, look, we all know the Yankees are good, the Dodgers are good. I would assume the Astros would still be good. We'll see. There's the defending champion Washington Nationals. What's the team, besides the more obvious ones like the Dodgers and Yankees? Let's just throw those two teams out. Like, what's the team none of us are thinking about that you think might actually make a run here? Is it, again, like a team like the Athletics?
A's definitely on that list. Red Sox, White Sox are pretty high up on the list. I think the Angels, not necessarily getting slept on, but the Angels have improved, you know, significantly. Adding Rendon as a protection for Trout was a big move. They got Dylan Bundy, Julio Teheran. I mean, I know those aren't names that really move the meter for pitching, but those are guys that hopefully with health can give you a combined 300, almost 400 innings of average to slightly better than average pitching. You know, they got the best defensive shortstop in baseball. There's a lot of things to like about the Angels this year, and I don't like the Angels, so you know, it's a compliment coming from me that they've put together a decent team. You know, and that's the thing when I think about the AL West, I can see a whole range of possibilities where the Astros aren't the first team in the division this year. They could easily be a wild card team.
Let me decipher that sentence from Jason for those who didn't get that. He likes the Angels as a team to do perhaps better than conventional wisdom suggests this year. He doesn't like them from a human standpoint or for whatever reason. So
as an organization, yes. I'm not a fan of them.
That's right. So that's a compliment from Jason that he thinks that team is going to do well. All right, Jason, we'll have you back. We'll obviously talk more politics, but when you're prepared to talk about some props like home runs and Cy Young and that kind of stuff, we can talk about that as well before the season. Yes?
Yeah, I'm getting excited. So far, most books haven't put them up. I've just started seeing a couple home run lists coming out. I saw Will Hill put them out. Westgate has them. But as soon as books want to put up player futures, I'm excited to bet them.
I am as well. Jason, we appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. I'll talk to you guys later.
Love it. Jason Weingarten. He gets me excited for baseball. He does. hit by pitches get me excited too, but Jason gets me excited for all the bets as well. Yes, Jeffrey.
I will say the one tweeter that did say that it is the best thing to happen to baseball.
Yes.
In the cynical way, it actually really is.
So that was my exact sentence.
Because you're spot on. Because this is the most interested I've been in baseball in February.
In February, for sure.
In maybe about, I don't know, probably 10 years at least. It's been a long time. It's been a long time.
In 10 years. Ah, the February of 2010, when we were all so interested in baseball. Baseball needs a spark. Not quite the spark they were looking for, but they got a weird sort of bizarro spark, if you will.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
It was my guest, the first ever Numbers Game episode when VSiN started back in February of 2017. Been on the podcast before, the Beating the Book podcast. Of course, legendary founder of Las Vegas Sports Consultants here in Las Vegas. Legend of Las Vegas. I'm trying to make him feel uncomfortable. Ladies and gentlemen, Roxy Roxborough in studio. How you doing, Roxy?
Hi, Gil.
Always the best dressed man in the sports book. That's how you can tell, Roxy.
A low bar.
It is. Well, it is a low bar. Both things are true, though. Both things are no. You look great. How you feeling?
Feel good too. You know, it's another year, another baseball season, just chugging along. Yeah.
Is that the only thing you bet these days, pretty much?
English soccer, because
really,
yeah, it's a pretty efficient market, but there's no problem with limits.
Right.
So, I mean, more or less, you can bet, you know, unless you're Warren Buffett, you can bet whatever you want. And then baseball, because I love it.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are limits on baseball, but there are ways to get down for pretty big numbers if you add up different places and come up with creative ways to bet. Yeah.
Creative ways to bet. Yeah. We were talking a little bit off air here before you came on.
Mm-hmm.
So it used to be that mid-February, somewhere around Valentine's Day, the Atlantis in Reno would put out lines. They weren't widespread. They were just in one shop.
Right.
And then Vegas would come out with them a couple weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
And then was it CG that went a week earlier, I think, one year at February 7th? And then last year was Caesars in January.
Right.
And then this year was William Hill in December. How do you like that, how that's going?
Well, I like it because I don't need to see two sets of numbers to bet, but it caught us so off guard that we were only done with about six teams. It takes us about 3 hours to do a team, right? So we're doing two teams a day, figuring the odds will come out maybe after January, mid-January, right? And it caught us off guard. So I was going in, I was betting two games at a time, come back. I was, you know, coming in every day and betting stuff because we just didn't have the work done. But usually when you go first, there's nobody else doing the work either. So it's not like people were beating us to numbers. I think maybe we lost one or two numbers. But, you know, most people weren't ready either.
Well, that was very interesting what you said there. First of all, you said caught us. So it's not just you and your partners?
Partners, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you said it takes about 3 hours to do every team. So you have you have a tried and true process that you go through very mechanically every year on this stuff.
Well, what happens is we can automate it, but then we go back and double check it by hand because usually we just have so much time. Why not double check it? And when you double check all your work by hand anyway, you get more familiar with it. You know it better. You're just not looking at a sheet of numbers, right?
Right.
But this year, it was totally different. So.
Before we get into your actual baseball picks here, how what is your, because you're the guy to ask about something like this. Remember, I called you the Marshall McLuhan of this whole racket, a reference to Annie Hall, where Woody Allen is annoyed by people arguing in a movie line back when there used to be lines headed into movie theaters, and he looked into the camera and said, if only there was someone I could talk to tell these people. And then he brings out media critic Marshall McLuhan, tells them off. And Woody looks at the camera and says, if only life were like this, in his very neurotic way. So you're the Marshall McLuhan of all this. So since legalization, any sort of broad statements you can make in your reaction to how things have gone? Has anything surprised you? Has anything disappointed you? Or have your worst fears come true, Roxy?
Oh, I don't know. I never, not really. My worst fears haven't come true. I always knew there was some states that weren't it was going to be small states who are political, like we're going to go with lotteries and we're going to have a high takeout, because the nature of all gambling is political. You go back, horse racing is probably the most political game of all time, you know, and they have Monopoly for a long time. I don't see anything, you know, I thought New Jersey did it the best, and I thought it was important that they go first because others could emulate them. Well, nobody else is.
So there's that.
Yes, there's that, yeah. Which I'm a little disappointed in. I guess Colorado might be pretty good. Also, it's not a godsend for professional bettors, which I sort of knew was coming, because the market sports betting, the game is going to be to a lot of mini and micro bets, and eventually it'll be practically all in-game. I haven't changed my mind on that. It's going to be all in-game betting that 5G will facilitate with low latency, and it'll be just a series of micro bets. It'll have to be algorithm-generated. Not only the prices will have to be algorithm-generated, the movement in the line will have to be algorithm-generated, because you can't hire enough staff to be looking at 5,000 things you're offering, right?
Yeah.
I really do think the bookmakers here, now Nevada's in a unique situation, and they still are taking large bets over the counter, but eventually you won't be able to manage everything with guys looking at screens over the counter. A lot of if you're going to just keep offering bets and bets and props on every game and props on every hockey game, and let's say you get up to 100 props a day on the NBA, each individual NBA game, they won't be able to move these by hand.
You know, the in-game thing, though, I've been very honest with the audience about this, is it makes for when you do a show 2 hours on sports betting every day, every weekday, it will become increasingly more difficult as time goes on, because more the percentage of in-game will so outweigh pre-flop bets that this will be a slightly different endeavor, because we can talk about, you know, we can handicap and analyze for as long as we want, but it's a different story to come back after the fact and be like, well, when I was in gaming yesterday, because you can't really do that while it's happening. And so people don't take in that as well as they do, you know, and understandably so, pre-flop analysis of stuff. So well, that's a challenge.
Yes, because there's not enough time for a narrative on in-game betting.
Yeah.
Everywhere there's been in-game betting, it's dwarfed pre-game betting. It's not even close. Once people realize that there's no sense of urgency, it's not imperative to bet before kickoff or tip-off or face-off, it changes the game totally.
Yeah, yeah. It does. And again, I had a gentleman on 2010 when I was first doing my podcast a decade ago from the UK. He was one of the lead developers of the Midas algorithm over there at Cantor Technology. And he told me at that time, he was like, it's, you know, it's 51% of the handle in the UK. It will be like this in 5 years. I was like, easy on the five. But yes, I get the overriding sentiment. Do you want to brag about your baseball picks last year? Can we start here?
Well, I'll just say you keep plugging into this, and every year you have a dream year.
This was your dream year?
Yeah, my 11 to 10 bets were 6-2, and then I had, which I gave out on this show, and then I gave out the Rays to win the wild card game. That was 8-1, and I gave you two mid-season future book plays, which were the Nats to win the division that lost, but the Nats to win the pennant, which was 20-1 and also won. So I basically had just, and those were all my bets, so I just had one of those years. I mean, this is...
There they are right there, Roxy. Oh, on the screen at Visa.com, the VSiN app. So the only ones that didn't get there of the season win totals... Oh, no, wait. This is last year's. The only ones that didn't get
Rangers.
There... The Mariners and the Rangers, right?
Yeah.
The Mariners over didn't get there. The Rangers under did not either. Yeah. The Rangers really outperformed their underlying. But Diamondbacks, Phillies... Diamondbacks over, Phillies under, Blue Jays under, White Sox under, Marlins under. They all got there. And then, as Roxy was just talking about, you had the Rays to win the wild card game at 8-1. Now, are we giving you full 8 units on that, or are we? What are we doing with that?
Well, you can only give me 4 units on it if you want. What I was looking for is a bet on the Rays to make the playoffs, and the Rays were consensus around town 260 or 270 to make the playoffs. So what I did is I made this bet instead. Because the only way they'd have to be in the wild card game. So I would chop that off for 4 units because it was a play for them to make the playoffs. See, you can get creative to get down more on what you want to get down. We'll talk about that a little later. And I believe I told you the Astros minus 24.5 against the Rangers is you couldn't possibly sweat it because, but it would get there.
they beat them by 29 games.
Yes.
Yeah,
so that's one you know you can't possibly win until there's 2 weeks to go.
That's
you know?
Right.
Yeah,
and then you had the Nationals. What you said to win the division didn't work out, but to win the pennant obviously did.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you know this, Roxy, they are World Series champions.
They are, and the World Series bet eluded me because I didn't see the price. Now, one time they were 60-1 in the regular season, but it wasn't anything I saw, and. When they were 20-1 to win a pennant, I passed on 40-1 to win a World Series because I didn't think if they'd got there, they would have been favored. So, hey, I'm not complaining.
All right, so let's start, Roxy. Well, since we have you here, let's start. Obviously, people are like, all right, what's he got for this year? Let's go.
Oh, yeah, we should always talk about this year, you know.
People are like, that's great. Thanks for...
That was last year, really.
Yeah, that was last year. Yeah. But for this year,
okay,
you have 7 that you like.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do them. You like to do them division by division. Now, you're taking a pass on the American League East. None of those teams interest you.
Yeah, I don't have anything in it.
Nothing in the American.
The reason I like to do it by divisions, by the way, is, you're playing 76 games inside your own division, right? And so, to me, it's correlated. I mean, when you're doing that, so if you're going down and your figures say, well, you like every team in a division over, it's possible. But you're probably missing something somewhere. Yeah.
Not only that, the market is shaded to the over to begin with as well. So if you're in a flurry of overs, might not be the greatest, strategy.
Maybe not. I've always thought that was a little bit. If you bet every under, you'd have a really small percentage. But remember, you don't have to make all 30 bets.
That's
you just
right.
have to make the ones that make sense for
That's
you.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Should I feed these to you, or you want to start?
Go ahead, feed them to me.
All right, so we go to the AL Central. This is a very in vogue club, Roxy.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, for the second straight year, but especially this year, everybody loves the Chicago White Sox. Not you. Not you.
I don't like the White Sox for a lot of reasons. This has been a team that has probably been projected wrong by players and bookmakers for a long time. They've gone under 7 straight years, and there's only 2 teams that have ever had that streak of going under. That's not why I'm playing them under. I'm just because I don't believe so much in that historical numbers. But they've always been overrated, I think. Let's say this. They won 72 games last year. Now you're asking them to win 86. So they pick up a lot of players. But if you could buy your way to 4 games over 500 from winning 72 games, everybody would do it.
That's very true.
I mean, the Phillies tried to do it last year, too.
Yeah.
You just can't. On paper, some of these players might add up to give you 14 more games. And they do have some young players, which I'll cut them a little slack for. But I don't see it. This division also is better than last year. I have this division at about an average of 78.5 wins, where last year it was 75. So I also think the division's slightly better. It's not the pushover it was last year.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll just sort of add on to that. They were a 72-win team in the standings last year.
Mm-hmm.
Through Pythagorean Theorem, 68, base run, 69.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe slightly less, negligible amount, but less than 72. One of the things in their lineup, so there's always a note on the lineup, there's always a note on the pitching staff, and I'm curious how much of this you even factor in or if you just, it's not part of your calculus, but they had like a third of their lineup had unbelievable batting averages on balls in play.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of us who love fan graphs, they had a real outlying thing with Yoan Moncada, Tim Anderson and Lurie Garcia, who were all in like the top 10 or 15 of BABIP guys, which is just a reflection of good fortune more than it is a skill set that you can repeat.
Well, yes, and Fangraff isn't a team or fan of this team either this year. What do they have them here? Oh, no, they have them right there, 84 and a half. But
yeah.
I happen to like base runs. I think they're significant during the year, too, when you're looking at futures and you're looking to dig your way out in props as the year goes on. But I don't know. The White Sox is – and I also have an over in this division, which is Kansas City, who won 59 games last year. But our projections come out to them about a 70-win team. This has been – this has always been a darling's projection through the years, either over or under.
This is a very bold one for you, I think.
Huh?
This is a very bold one.
Yeah, it is, because I try to get away from making bad teams win. I'm usually of the...
It's true.
Not in the over and unders. I really believe that once a team starts to fall apart, they just pack it in. I actually think this... You talk about rebuilds. Now, there's a difference between a rebuild and just a tankapalooza. I actually think the Royals think they're turning the corner with some players.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think this will be a different Royals team this year. I don't see them as a team that's just looking for draft choices. I think they're going to try to put a fairly competitive team on. And so we're asking them to win more than 66 games, which goes against my MO, which you've known me for years.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you don't like doing that. It's because it's a tough thing to live through on those bets. Like, I remember once when I had
You don't sweat these teams. They'll drive you up a wall.
I think with the Royals, what's interesting is, and you always make this assessment when you're talking about MLB season win totals, is trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Royals, if you look at their contracts, who would they trade at the trade deadline based on contracts? Maybe their closer Ian Kennedy, but it's not like they're not like Whit Merrifield, because he's locked into a cheap contract.
Yes.
Soler is still locked in. And so they probably will go with this group of players. You know, the White Sox and the Royals together, when you go to the pitchers, I think what's stark about both of these teams is you have to make the assessment, which you obviously know for many years before I have, is their performance from one year sustainable to the next? In the case of the White Sox, to the good, is Lucas Giolito more likely to have his 2019 season or his horrific 2018?
Mm-hmm.
In the case of the Royals, are those guys like Jacob Junis and Brad Keller, can they possibly be as bad as they were? And the answer probably is no.
Well, we're hoping it's no.
You're hoping it's no. Yes. That's the hope anyway.
Yes.
Okay. They did have a good bullpen last year, though, the Royals did. That's obviously something for an over on a season win totals. You want that to stay.
They've probably done bullpens better than anybody if you go back and look at the last 10 years.
Oh, sure.
The Royals.
Well, they changed the game when they won the World. You know, got to the World Series.
And they've also been good about the acquisitions they've made for the pen. And I like the way they moved their pen. I know new manager this year, but I don't see any. Basically, they've set the standard for the way everybody uses their pen anyway.
Yeah. Of course, the
you need numbers.
2014 and 2015, they went Herrera, Davis, Holland, 7-8-9, which was their way of sort of backfitting the game.
Yeah.
And the Royals everybody tried to copy it. The Royals were like, "Hey, look, if we had a bigger payroll, we wouldn't have done this, but this is how we hacked the game." Yeah. All right, more in the American League. We go to the American League West. Mm-hmm. Texas Rangers, you have a call on them.
Yeah, I like them both under, and the Astros are sort of an enigma. I think the over and under ought to be higher than 95, but nobody knows what's going to happen to the Astros this year.
It's very true.
I mean, we know they're going to be under a lot of pressure. I mean, how much were they cheating last year is sort of important.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Yes.
2017 doesn't make any difference,
sort
really.
Sort of important.
2017 is gone. How much did they cheat last year is what we really need to know. I want to, you know, all this stuff always is in the price all the time. So when. During the regular season, if you're betting every game, right, that's, you know, and they're winning at home all the time, that's sort of going to be, comes out in the wash. I never worried about that too much. But we just don't know what's going to happen with this team this year. Talent-wise, oh, they're by far the best in division if you just add up the talent. So I think, but they're a 95 team win anyway, okay? And then the A's are the massive overperformers some years, right? And they could easily win 90 games. And I think the Angels are a lot better team this year. They're going to score. If they can solve any pitching, they could be in there for a wild card. And maybe, you know, there like could be a 88 team win. So somebody's got to lose. And Texas is a tough one because Texas won 78 last year, and we bet them under 71. And now they've gone out and made good acquisitions.
Their base runs were 71 last year.
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
And I thought there's a regression factor for this year, and they've done a good job of counteracting that that regression with the players they brought in. But somebody has to lose in that division. And new ballpark or not, I think they're the ones that are going to go under 79.5, which you can get here.
Yeah. And the new ballpark is always very interesting because, obviously, from a traditional hitter's park, that was the previous Globe Life Park. Now it's Globe Life Field. Now they have the retractable roof.
Right.
So you never know. It's a tough projection, right? Because you don't know, first of all, are they going to manipulate that roof according to opponent and that sort of thing? But does it harm their hitters? Does it enhance their pitching? Like, I mean, because it works both ways. So it's very difficult to make that assessment.
Well, that's true. You have the greatest minds and architects, stadium architects in the world, still can't figure out wind flows because it's a difficult business.
Yeah.
You don't know what happened when wind flows get into certain buildings. You can see massive changes. Like, Yankee Stadium's across the street, and one was a launching pad to right field and one wasn't. I mean, you end up with, Cincinnati was supposed to be the ultimate neutral ballparks. You know, yeah. Totally wrong. Right?
Totally wrong.
So you just can't tell. I mean, the Cubs put in the big scoreboard in the back and change the wind flows a lot again.
Yeah.
So you don't know until they play there. It'll be interesting if you like to bet over and unders. You know, you really need to be clued into those games and see early if there's something going on.
And Roxy is being somewhat modest here because there is no one who figured out ballpark factor before you did. You were the guy who first exploited what we know today as ballpark factor. You as a bettor were the first one to be like, hey, these things play differently.
Yeah.
Okay. And so it follows that you have the Mariners under as well.
Well, I can't see any hope for the Mariners. They won 68 games last year, and remember they had that ridiculously fast start?
13-2.
Yeah, and there was guys thought they could be the Mariner team that won 116 games and all that stuff. There's like a lot of nonsense around. But the thing is,
55-92 the rest of the way.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
So, I mean, where are they going to go from here? I don't think their young players are that good. They have a lot of guys that should be better and aren't. And after a few years, you just figure, okay, they're not going to be better. I just don't see where they go.
I agree.
You know, I mean, if they have anybody that somebody wants at the trade deadline, people want Marco Gonzalez, but I don't think he's movable.
He's their ace.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think he's a good pitcher to come out every fifth day, but there's not much behind that. And I think this, you know, that one time there was 72.5 on this number, and but I'm saying right now, 66.5 here at the South Point. You go under that one.
You still go under.
Yeah, yeah.
That was like
you can't wonder about the numbers you got. A lot of people get prejudiced. So you go under an early number like 72.5 and 71.5 and 70.5, and then it's up 69.5, and you say, I can't go under 69.5. I already went under 72.5. That's irrelevant.
Yeah.
It is what it is the day you're looking at it. And if you'd never seen that 72.5, you thought 69.5 was a good bet under? You make that bet, and you just keep betting it until you don't think there's anything in it.
Words of wisdom. Roxy Roxborough. So the American League picks White Sox under, Royals over, and then both the Rangers and the Mariners under in the American League West. We will do his three National League season win totals coming right back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Okay, I'll try not to interrupt as much on this so we can get through all these. You got three more in the National League. Again, you're taking a pass on the NL East. Nothing there.
No, if you're that wants a better division with a futures opinion, that's a good one to do it, but I just don't see anything in it.
You have a futures opinion in the NL East?
Actually, you know, the interesting thing, I'll just say, the Marlins are a team that's going to be better this year. The problem is, the four teams ahead of them are all trying to be better, too.
Yeah.
And it's really tough for them. If they won 70 games, it wouldn't surprise me. But basically, it's an arms war in that division. So,
all right, NL Central, you're going a little bit against the grain here in terms of going against a solid organization. You like the Cardinals under.
Now, this probably would be my best play.
Ooh.
Cardinals projected around 81, 82 wins. I really don't like teams that don't do anything during the offseason. And this team, not only have they not done anything, there's talk that Nolan will be on the block at the All-Star break. I just don't see the pitching looks disastrous to me. They won 71 games last year. I don't see how they get back to that. And then if you get the kicker, if Nolan leaves, they're probably in free fall.
Cardinals won 91 games last year.
Yeah, well, hold on. I'm getting confused with the team.
Cardinals.
With the Rockies. But the Rockies are a team that didn't make another change, too. So basically, my theory here is teams that don't make changes, I don't like them.
Rockies didn't do anything, really.
No, the Cardinals didn't do anything.
Yeah.
So I don't like teams that don't do anything. And I don't see how they can get better. I thought the number was too high. It's a competitive division. The Reds, for the first time, the Reds are, by the way, a team that's also gone under 7 years in a row. And I've been trying to make them go over a few times, but I passed this time.
You passed on it.
Yeah.
Okay, so clarifying.
Cardinals under.
Yeah. That is your best play, Cardinals under?
I would say so, yeah.
All right, and Rockies, since we got to the NL West, we'll start again. The
Rockies unders for the same reason. They do absolutely nothing. They have that problem with third baseman. And
tried to trade Arenado this offseason?
I think he'll be on the block. They've already said he'll be on the block before the trade deadline. I just don't see how they get better. And I think it's a hard, long season for them. They have a responsibility probably to make a better team because they have the fifth largest attendance. So they have people that come to the games. And they have spent a lot of money through the years. And they just haven't got anything from it, really. So I see the bottom falling out on them.
Such a tough ballpark.
It's hard on them. The other thing is, outside of playing the Giants, they're going to have a hard time. I think Arizona's a little better, and San Diego's better, and the Dodgers are the Dodgers, probably the greatest 162-game team ever constructed.
I would agree with that, actually.
Yeah.
All right, there's one more, though. So under on the Cardinals, under on the Rockies, you do like the Padres over.
Yes, this is I wish they weren't on TV out here because this is going to be a hard one to sweat. This projection is a little different. As much as I like teams trying to buy their way to get better, this is the team that actually has the players on the team right now to get better. I don't think we saw the best of them last year between a lot of injuries and a lot of young players trying to play the game. So I don't think we saw the best of them last year. This is going to be a struggle to get over this 83, but my numbers came up 87, and that's a big gap between what you can bet over and what they are.
I'm laughing because I can tell how much you hate liking the over here.
Yeah, I just don't, but it's a bet, and I'm on it. And then as a bonus play I'm going to give out.
Bonus play.
Is because I like Kansas City. I don't like the Cardinals. So there's a matchup bet at Westgate where I'm taking Kansas City plus 20 games against the Cards. So to me, that's also another way to get more money on the two teams I like.
There you go. Creative ways of doing it. Yeah. And you said you were going to talk about that. So that's an example of that.
Mm-hmm.
Find derivative markets, find other creative props where you can creatively figure out a way to essentially same correlated handicap, get more money down on your conviction.
Yeah, because eventually you're going to, the numbers, you keep betting under or over and the numbers keep moving and eventually you're going to lose value on every bet where the line moves. You're going to lose some value. And the question is, when is the time to stop, okay? And then when you've decided you don't want to bet anymore, you have to look for some creative ways. Teams to make the playoffs, for example, might be one, or, you know, because you can bet against them to make the playoffs, and the matchup bets are another. The problem with the futures now is the league's so bifurcated that you just have all the low-priced teams look like they ought to be low-priced teams, and there's not a high enough price on any of the long shots for me that are compelling.
Excellent use of bifurcated, Roxy. That's my favorite part so far. Yeah, the haves and the have-nots, and there really is. Like, I used to in my manifesto, my baseball manifesto, which I'll put out here in the next couple weeks, 3-0 last year, over Dodgers, under Rockies, under Orioles, and they were pretty much all cruise jobs. But one of the things that I used to do in there was put out futures plays. Mm-hmm. And there's just nothing to do anymore, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not nearly there's no point to it before the season. Oftentimes you can get better odds on it as the season goes in.
You can. I would say if you had an opinion in the National League East, that would be the one you could attack for future books, division pennant, World Series, because there's four teams in there with a chance. And you have to sort of think that the wild cards are coming out of that division.
All right. See if I get any player thoughts. I'm going to put Roxy on the spot here, coming back after the break. We'll wrap it up. We'll recap all his plays. Roxy Roxborough, the legendary, kind enough to join us right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Keep it right here for more of A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander. Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
All right, Roxy's season win totals, and none of these currently are that far off from where you bet them. We actually set aside ones that were far off the number that you got them at.
Yes, I just give out the games and the prices that you can get now. It's really disingenuous for people to come on these shows and say, well, I got 4.5 and it's 7.5 or something like that. I mean, you have to give out something that people can bet, right? Yes, a lot.
Don't we know it?
Well, the reason most of the numbers are the way they are now is because I bet them into that position.
Yes.
So I gave out the ones that if I woke up today, I'd still bet them.
Okay. And those are, once again, the White Sox, Rangers, Mariners, Cardinals, and Rockies under, the Royals and the Padres over. You were sharing a story off air. I'd, for those who love baseball, I think this is a great story.
Well, it is. I have a Baseball Hall of Fame pin on today, and in 1939, when it opened in Cooperstown, my mother was there. She was 13 years old. She scored the game. She got a scorecard and scored the exhibition game, which is a bunch of retired all-stars against another bunch of retired all-stars, and went six innings. She snapped photos when she was there. She's still with us. She sent the program to the Baseball Hall of Fame. They loved it, and they asked her, would she like to come for a VIP tour with some guests? So we had a family reunion last year in Cooperstown.
Wow.
And they treated us so well. And my mother's 93 and a half now, and she's really sharp. And she's loved baseball all her life, and that's probably why the interest from me and my my two brothers, plus her father was, of course, the one that took her. And his Chief Bender was his favorite player. My mother's favorite player was Jimmy Fox.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Your mom is 94.
They think she's one of the only people from that ceremony that was alive. I mean, they could remember it, right? And she has documentation because she has photos she's going to donate also.
How did she feel about the way your career went? Was she just ridiculously proud of you?
No.
That's why I ask. I mean, she like, what are you doing?
I mean, my dad went to Dartmouth as a Harvard MBA. I don't think that they really thought going to Las Vegas was the best use of my talents. They used to said they had their oldest son worked out west, and they left it at that. Of course, then one night I got on with Dan Rather on the CBS Evening News for some type of interview, and then all of a sudden her friend started calling her, "That was your son, that was your son." "Oh, yes, he's a rather prominent figure in Las Vegas."
That was a game changer.
Yeah.
And the mother-son relationship changed from that point on. It's very similar. You know, I always joke on the air, too, that my parents are immigrants. They always wanted a doctor and a lawyer, and my brother, my only sibling, he became a doctor. And just like you just said, they go, "And the other one, we don't really understand what he does." They don't really get it. But I'm glad that worked out for you. Dan Rather had you on that. Confirmed to your mom that you were doing something good, or at least prominent anyway.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's a great story. So you went to Cooperstown. Do you attribute, though, not only your fandom, but do you attribute, you said your mom's as sharp as ever, how you ended up, so much of that is from your mom, you think?
Oh, there's no question about it. We used to get an updated version of the baseball encyclopedia every year when we were kids, and we used to have trivia questions, look up all the old players. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Roxy. I appreciate it as always.
My pleasure.
May your season win totals go as well, but we just thank you for being here. The great Roxy Roxborough on a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, "Somebody's in the house," and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.